America, Real Truth for Today. It's Monday, July 24th. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, yesterday we had a great church service at First Baptist Texarkana. I had been preaching through the Ten Commandments, and I finished up yesterday. I called that series Written in Stone because it was written, the Ten Commandments, on the two tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. And we looked at the Tenth Commandment yesterday, and such a fitting conclusion to the Ten. This is what the Tenth Commandment says. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, the Tenth Commandment is a different commandment because it's not an action outwardly like murder or stealing or adultery. It's an internal thing. It's not an action, it's an attitude. And it is the sin of coveting. Now, many times we don't really use that word. We don't think in just natural conversation, we don't really use that word about coveting. And we don't like to think of ourselves as covetous. I ran across this quote from Charles Spurgeon. I thought it was interesting. He said, "It is a strange thing that hardly anyone ever admits that he is covetous. Mr. Covetous tries to make us believe that he is only thrifty and prudent, both excellent qualities which are not to be condemned, but he really is greedy and grasping, which are quite different. He denies help to the poor and help to the work of God. All he cares for is himself, that he may be rich." And then he looks at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, and it says it is very significant that the covetous are put in the same list with fornicators and adulterers. In the sight of God, you are in the same condition as they are, and you also are among those who shall not inherit the kingdom of God unless you repent of your sin. Are you a covetous person? I called my sermon yesterday, "The Sin of Coveting and the Joy of Contentment," because a covetous person is not content. They're always needing to get something else, needing to get more, thinking that's going to satisfy them. But a contented person is finding satisfaction in the Lord. So I put together, through a couple of different things that I read, a little test. See, because we don't like to think of ourselves as covetous. So here's a little test. You know, you, Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck if, well, this is one, not to be humorous, but you might be covetous if, here are the questions. Number one, I have hurt others to get more for myself. Number two, I am preoccupied with making and accumulating more. It's okay to make money. It's okay to accumulate things. But if you're preoccupied with that, that's a problem. Number three, I am very reluctant to share my money, to share my possessions with others. Giving is not something I enjoy doing. Number four, I am frequently grumbling about my lack of resources and the current state of my life. Number five, I believe one can never have too much money. Number six, I find myself thinking, if only I had blank, whatever that blank is. If only I had a new job. If only I had more money. If only I had a wife. If only I had a child. If only my children would be potty trained. If only my children would be in school. If only my children would leave the house. If only my children would come back and visit me. If only. Then I would be happy. Number seven, I find myself always wanting more. And number eight, I find myself comparing my blessings instead of counting my blessings. You know the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. We have a real hard time with not counting but comparing. Well, let me see how my blessing compares to your blessing. Oh, you got more than I did. You got five talents. I only got two talents. Oh, you got two talents. I only got one talent. You know, comparison is bad because it does one of two things. It either makes you depressed because someone has more than you, or it makes you proud because you have more than someone else. Oh, look at me. I have more than you. You know who are some of the worst at the comparison game? Are pastors. They get together at a conference and they're all the time kind of sizing everybody up. How many people did come to your church, and how many decisions did you have? How many baptisms did you have last year? And you know, if they have less than you do, then you, oh man, I'm doing really good. If they have more than you do, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go talk to somebody else. Pastors can really fall into that rut of comparing themselves. Well, you may be covetous if you have that problem. So what do you do about it? Well, you have to understand what coveting is. See, coveting is a sin of the heart. As I said earlier, it's not an action like you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal. It's not like that. It's an internal thing. It's a sin of the heart. And Jesus said, for out of the heart, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders come. Out of the heart comes all these things. And coveting is a sin of the heart. It's a desire, a longing for, a lusting after things. And whether it's your neighbor's house, or whether it's your neighbor's spouse, or whether it's your neighbor's stuff, something concerning your neighbor that belongs to him that doesn't belong to you, but you long for it. You lust after it. You have such great desire for it. Interesting. The word for coveting in the Hebrew, hamad. Hamad. It is used in the book of Genesis to talk about Eve. When the devil was tempting Eve with the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was hamed, desirable to make one wise, she took from the tree and ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. She was longing after and lusting after that forbidden fruit. Now, they could eat anything in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was God's tree. And they began to covet their neighbor's tree, their neighbor's fruit, if we use the terminology of the Ten Commandments. God was their neighbor, so to speak, in that context, and that tree was his tree, and that fruit was his fruit, and they could have everything else. He was going to share everything else, but that one was not theirs to take. But Eve coveted it. She longed after it and lusted after it and had to have it. So when you have that in your heart, a longing, a lusting with great desire for something that the Lord has said no to, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor, then that is coveting. And coveting is also an insatiable craving for more and more and more. The sin of coveting is a longing in your heart for other things, and never being satisfied with what you have. You always have to have more things and more things and more things. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Hey, are you content with what you have? Or do you think that I have to have more? If I get just a little more, then I can be happy. Rockefeller, who was so, so wealthy, the famous quote, when someone asked him, Mr. Rockefeller, you have so much in terms of material goods, so much wealth and so many houses and just all the accoutrements of wealth. When is it enough? And he said, when I get just a little more, just a little more. It's never enough. A covetous person always wants more and more and more. I shared yesterday a quote, very interesting quote from Rainn Wilson. You know who Rainn Wilson is? He was Dwight K. Schrute on The Office. And I became very famous playing Dwight Schrute, and he's in movies now and other things. But he had an interview with Bill Maher recently on his podcast, Bill Maher's podcast, and he said this, very telling. He said, when I was in the office, I spent several years mostly unhappy because it wasn't enough. This is what I'm looking at now, and I'm realizing now that I'm on a hit show, an Emmy-nominated show every year, making lots of money, working with Steve Carell and Jenna Fischer and John Krasinski and these amazing writers and incredible directors. I'm on one of the greatest TV shows, and people love it, and I wasn't enjoying it. I was thinking about, why am I not a movie star? Why am I not the next Jack Black or the next Will Ferrell? How come I can't have a movie career? Why don't I have this development deal? When I was on The Office, he said, I was making hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I wanted to make millions. And I was a television star, but I wanted to be a movie star. It was never enough. That just captures the sin of coveting. It's a desire for more and more and more. It is never enough. Never enough. When the Bible in the New Testament uses that word covetous, pleonexia, the scripture says, Ephesians 5:5, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man, pleonexia, that Greek word literally means to have more, to have more. A covetous man has to have more and more and more and more. So coveting is a sin of the heart, a longing, a lusting after things with great desire and an insatiable craving for more money, more clothes, more cars, more lake houses, more boats, more all this stuff. And here's the thing about coveting, and this is why it is so aptly fitted into the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. It comes at the end because it's really the incubator sin for all the other prohibitions in the Ten Commandments, all the other sins listed, all the other laws. Hey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It all begins with coveting. Coveting is where all sin is born because coveting comes from the heart. And the scripture says this in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. That word is also translated covetous in other places. That when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. What are we tempted by? By our own lust. And when lust conceives, then the action comes. It gives birth to sin. So think about the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Where does murder begin? Murder begins in the heart. Murder begins, as Jesus said, when you start hating your brother, when you're angry with your brother, because that sets you on a path that it's like getting on a train car. That train is going all the way down to Murder Town, and you better get off of it. But it starts by getting on with anger. Anger to resentment, to bitterness, to hatred, to murder. And so it is with lust. It begins in the heart. And covetousness breeds all these other sins. Well, we're talking about the sin of coveting today on Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The antidote to coveting is to find your contentment in the Lord, and that's what we're going to be talking about when we come back from the break. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the sin of coveting, the 10th commandment. You shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Not his house, not his spouse, not anything that belongs to his neighbor. So we're talking about, has that covetous heart, has that gotten into you? And coveting is a sin of the heart. But it's also a sin, and this is what people don't necessarily realize, coveting is a sin of idolatry. And the Bible connects coveting with idolatry. Ephesians 5:5, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man, pleonexia, that means wanting more, covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. A covetous man is an idolater. The scripture says in Colossians 3:5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, pleonexia, which amounts to idolatry. So coveting is idolatry. You say, well, why is coveting idolatry? Because coveting says I have to have something else to satisfy me, to meet the needs of my heart. I'm not going to be happy with what I have, with what God has given me. I need to have something else. Now, the scripture tells us, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. We have Jesus as believers in Jesus. And so you talk about a slap in the face of God when we say, well, God, you're not enough. I need something else. I need more money. I need another car. I need a new suit of clothes. I need this. I need a prettier wife, a more handsome husband, a more successful husband. And I have to have this and this and this and this in order to be happy. And a covetous person is not ever going to be happy, and they're never going to find satisfaction in those other things. Now, when we think of being covetous and being greedy, because those are synonyms, we don't think necessarily in terms of being greedy for somebody else's wife. We think in terms of being greedy for gain, for financial gain. And the Bible is very clear from the lips of Jesus. He says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and money. Money is a wonderful servant, but it is a terrible master. And for most people, we're going to struggle with letting money become the master. Why is that? We need money to live. Money is essential to be able to live in this world, but money has to remain in the place of servant. The Lord is the master who provides the money for us as we work and as we're responsible, but he provides for us, and we use money and we worship God. We don't worship money and use God. That's where people get that all flipped on its head. And so coveting, wanting more and more and more, and longing after and lusting after things that are forbidden with such great desire, that just shows you're an idolater. You have this idol in your mind and in your heart. And the 10th commandment, isn't it interesting? The 10th commandment goes back to the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of the house of out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Coveting says, I need another God, and this other thing is what is going to satisfy me, what is going to make me happy. You can't serve God and money. And so let me ask you a question. Are you greedy for more money? How did you answer that question about on the covetous test? I believe one can never have too much money. I think it was J. Paul Getty that was asked the question one time. You know, he's an extremely wealthy man, one of the wealthiest men who has ever lived. And he was asked one time by a reporter, you know, Mr. Getty, you have so much. Why not just stop now? He said, if you stop now, wouldn't you have like $1 billion? And J. Paul Getty did some figuring in his mind and said, "Yeah, I'd have $1 billion, but you know, $1 billion doesn't buy what it used to. I mean, nobody can spend $1 billion. It's just ridiculous. It's so much, and it's that Rockefeller. I just need to get a little more and a little more and a little more." And it'll never be enough. Now, I had a friend of mine one time, and he said this to me. This is when we first got out of college. He was my buddy from high school, actually from seventh grade on. Played a lot of basketball together. And he said to me one day, he said, "Well, you know one thing, Jeff, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be rich." And I thought about that and said, "Well, wait a minute. I'm going to run that through the grid of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." It all comes from wanting to be rich. There's not a problem if you are rich. The problem comes when you want to get rich, when that becomes this driving desire. I have to have this. I have to be wealthy. You know, Abraham was a rich man because God blessed him. Jacob was a rich man because God blessed him. Many people in Scripture, Job was a very wealthy man because God had blessed him. But that wasn't the driving force in Abraham's life, in Jacob's life, in Job's life. I got to have wealth. They wanted to walk with God. They wanted a relationship with God. And so you ask yourself, has the love of money gotten into my heart? Because coveting is greediness. And when you have to have more and more and more, there's a big problem with that. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." That's the Hebrew word pleonexia, which means to have more, which every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Your life is not about, and your happiness is not related to how much you have in your purse. Your happiness is related to how much you have in your person. It's a big, big difference. I know people who are very, very wealthy financially. They have a lot in their purse, but they have very little in their person, and they're miserable people. Interesting. A study was done some years ago, and it was looking at income levels between 1957 and 1990, and it noticed that income levels doubled for people in the U.S. during those years. And so twice as much income, and depression was up tenfold. Suicide was up. Alcoholism and drug addiction rose sharply during those years. They determined this: there is absolutely no correlation between income levels and happiness levels. It doesn't matter what you have. Not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Life is not about that. But now, we've talked before on this program about the love of money, and the love of money is ruining lives and ruining families and ruining our nation and our world. We're just swimming in sin because of the love of money. And exactly what the Scripture says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith, longing for money, wandered away from the faith, and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, you may be familiar with what went on some months ago, uncovered at Vanderbilt University Hospital or University Medical Center. This was a hidden video, one of those Project Veritas type videos, and it was showing a meeting of the doctors at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and they were talking about transgender surgery, sex reassignment surgery, and how the hospital could make so much money doing those surgeries and giving that hormone therapy, quote unquote therapy. And I mean, just, hey, we're gonna pursue this whole hog. This is the inference, because we can make a lot of money doing this. The Hippocratic Oath says the very first thing: do no harm. What is the oath of a doctor? We're not going to do any harm. What is a sex reassignment surgery? You're doing harm to people. You're maiming people. You're disfiguring people. People who have mental problems, and you are entering into their lunacy just so that you can make money. And a follow-up video from Vanderbilt University from Dr. Ellen Clayton, she told the group of physicians, listen, if you have religious objections to these surgeries, then you're going to need to get someone else to do them, or you're going to need to find another place to work, because this is what we're doing. We are all in to mutilate people, especially children, because we can make a lot of money doing that. Well, once they blew the whistle, then the governor got involved, and they shut down the program, and we're going to have to put this on pause and review that. But what was fueling all of that? The love of money. The love of money. I don't care what I do to you as long as I can make money. Now, some time ago, my wife and I watched the docudrama Dope Sick with Michael Keaton, and it had some bad language in it, which I didn't appreciate at all, but I loved the story because it was the story of the Sackler family, Purdue Pharma, and OxyContin. And if that was accurate at all, and I believe from the things I've read, it was very accurate, the Sackler family, those people have sold their soul for filthy lucre. Just like Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. They just kept pushing this drug. They lied about the drug. They kept pushing the drug so that they could make more money. And they destroyed, when all was said and done with the opioid epidemic, they said 500,000 people died because of the opioid epidemic, plus all the aftermath and all the people that are left in shambles. They didn't necessarily die, but families destroyed, marriages destroyed, people heartbroken and heartsick. One lady was on being interviewed, and she said, you know, the Sacklers are buying multi-million dollar homes, and my daughter is dead because of OxyContin addiction. And I have to have a GoFundMe page just to get enough money together to do her funeral. She said something is seriously wrong with that picture. But it's the love of money, and it becomes an idol in our lives. So you can't serve God in money, so you dare not let your heart be deceived by idols. You know, here's the thing about money. Jesus talked about the deceitfulness of riches. What is the deceitfulness of riches? The deceitfulness of riches is this: riches lie, because it says in the culture and has how the devil works, that just like with the forbidden fruit, boy, you eat of this fruit and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You need this. If you don't have this, you don't have anything. And riches tell you, you have to have that. You have to have me, because if you have me, then you'll be satisfied. I love the quote from Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner. Somebody asked him about wealth one day, and he said, it's kind of like this. He said, wealth is like a empty paper bag. He said, everybody wants the bag. Everybody thinks the bag is going to solve all their problems and be the answer to all their wishes and hopes and dreams and desires. And he said, you work and work and work, and finally you get the bag, and when you open it up, you discover that it's empty, and it doesn't satisfy, and there's nothing in it. So what? You have $1 million, $10 million, $50 million, $100 million, $1 billion. So what? Solomon said, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, Ecclesiastes 5:10. Money wasn't designed to satisfy your soul. Nothing in this world is designed to satisfy your soul. There's only one who can satisfy the human soul. His name is Jesus. The song says, friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for by sin undermined. I know the secret. I've learned the secret. I know where 'tis found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Blindly men strive, for sin darkens their way. Oh, to pull back the grim curtain of night. One look at Jesus and all will be bright. Jesus is the pearl of great price. He is the one who can satisfy your soul. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Hey, when you have Jesus, you have everything. You have the God of the universe living inside your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. Could you have any more? Answer, no. You have the one that meets the deepest needs and longings of your heart. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're talking about the sin of coveting, the 10th commandment. And when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you on this topic. It's an important topic. It's destroying lives, but God has the answer. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor. The sin of coveting, a sin in the heart, a sin that says I have to have more and more and more, this insatiable craving for more, never satisfied with what you have, always comparing, always wanting to have more. It is akin to greed. We use those are synonyms. And many, many greedy people, although they don't like to admit it, but many greedy people, beware and be on guard, Jesus said, against every form of greed. Every form of greed. Now, you say, well, I don't have that form. It's every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And so, as I said, satisfaction doesn't come from how much you have in your purse. It comes from how much you have in your person, and it is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the pearl of great price. He is the piece of the puzzle that is missing in so many lives. As Augustine said, Lord, our hearts were made for you, our lives were made for you, and we will be restless until we find our rest in you. As Blaise Pascal said, you know, in every human heart, there is a God-shaped hole, a God-shaped vacuum. And the only thing that can fill a God-shaped vacuum is God himself. You can try and fill it with drugs. You can try and fill it with alcohol. You can try and fill it with success. You can try and fill it with money. You can try and fill it with all sorts of horizontal relationships. The only thing that will fill that hole is a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, died for your sins, rose again from the dead, and is coming again in power and great glory. And this one has said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall have rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, I don't care what you've done. You can be a mass murderer, and the Lord invites you to come to him and receive forgiveness, receive cleansing, receive a brand new life in Jesus Christ. He'll change you from the inside out. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about this very important subject, because we're seeing the love of money just take off in our world, especially in America, and just destroy. It destroys everything because it doesn't care about people. It just cares about money and getting more and more and more. And it is so destructive. And it has hit the medical community, big pharma, and hospitals in a huge way. And it will just bring misery and destruction to so many lives. Well, we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say, two points. I didn't get my house till later in life. And anyway, I was always very grateful for it. And I didn't want anybody else's big house or a better house or whatever. But then a person in the spot was buying up houses in our area and using them as rentals. And she showed me one of the houses in the neighborhood, and it was not much bigger than mine, but it had lots of storage. And that's a big problem with my house. And I really was having a problem with covetousness with that. But it wasn't an issue of space. It was just function. Mm-hmm. And another thing I was going to say is when my kids were home and I needed to take them to school, and I got a job where I could be home when they were home from school. And one of the things I did was have a flea market booth, but you had to be to yard sales early in the morning to get the good deals. And it got really competitive. And one morning, of course, you had to go to school kind of right in the middle of it. And I thought, if I didn't have these kids, I could really make a lot more money. And then I was like, wow, yeah. Look at what you just thought, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lynn. Well, and here's the good thing. You know, we can have some terrible thoughts come across our minds. That doesn't mean that's a temptation to let that, you know, to really dwell on that, but to recognize it as, wait a minute, that is really going off into left field. I think that's a good thing that the Lord uses and says, really, do you want to let that carry you over there? Because you know, I've blessed you so much with these children, and that's a gift that you can't put a price tag on. And so I appreciate you calling in today. I appreciate you sharing and just being so open and honest about that. I was talking to one of my kids today and told her I was going to be talking about this subject. She said, what'd you preach on yesterday? So I told her about coveting. And then she said, what are you going to talk on the radio? And I said, well, I'm going to talk about that. She goes, well, that's good. She said, Dad, because I struggle with that. I said, yeah, I was thinking about you as I was putting the sermon together. Just kind of tongue in cheek. But we all, when we're honest, everybody, covet in the heart. That's where coveting comes. It's a desire for things that are not finding our fulfillment in the Lord. That's really the heart of sin. It's wanting, I need to have this forbidden fruit, and then I'll be happy. Then I'll be like God. Then I'll be wise. Rather than just trusting God and thanking Him for all the things that He has given us. You know, when David sinned with Bathsheba, the Lord had, he had wives, he had concubines, but he has to take that one, as Nathan put it in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you had to take your poor neighbor's ewe lamb that he loved and was like a daughter to him. You took that from him and to feed your traveler. And that was a terrible, horrible sin what he had done. But that's the sin of coveting. I have to have what somebody else has. I'm not going to be happy unless I have what someone else has. And we need to just find our satisfaction in the Lord. I was talking to a friend about this this message yesterday afterward, and he said, you know, I find myself really struggling with always thinking about business deals and ways to make more money and all that. And he said, I need to be careful with that. And I said, you do. But here's the thing, how do we defeat the sin of covetousness in our hearts? Well, we do it by finding our satisfaction in Jesus and Jesus alone. And number two, by practicing generosity, by giving. As you give, you break those chains of greed and selfishness. You give things away. You learn to give. That's why, as the scripture sets it up, the tithe is the Lord's. The tenth belongs to God, and he taught his people from early on, hey, you learn to be a giver. And really, you know, we talk about tithes and offerings. The tithe is the Lord's. The giving comes after the tithe, and God wants us to not just bring the 10% that belongs to him, but then give above that. And it's not a way to impoverish us. It's a way to enrich us, because God gives back to us when we are generous with the kingdom of God and with other people in need. And it helps you to not be a selfish person who is in love with money when you keep giving and giving and giving. And no, just understand, hey, I'm just a steward. I don't own anything. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. And I'm just going to be satisfied in Jesus. I'm going to be faithful with the resources he gives me. I'm not going to be wasteful with the resources he gives me. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to just let him know, hey, all this belongs to you, Lord. I'm just your manager. I'm the steward of these things. All this is yours. And so I want to be a faithful servant who hears at the end of life, well done, my good and faithful slave, you are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So thank you for calling in. We have Debbie on the line from Texas. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you very much. I've got a couple things. One is I can't give enough. You know, I'm a giver. I've always been a giver. Once in a while, I'll buy a lottery ticket just so I can give more. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, okay? That's one thing. And then the other thing is, I have an acquaintance. I have trouble even looking at her on Facebook because she has an idyllic life in my mind on the lake, birds, you know, critters. She teaches some girls' classes. She just has, to me, what I picture is peace and harmony. And I don't want to be covetous and envious, so I don't even want to look. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, people like that can be an encouragement and inspiration. You know, Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You know, follow me as I follow Christ. And so he, you know, when we have these examples of this is what it means to really walk with God, this is what it means to experience the Lord's peace and joy and satisfaction in life, rather than you know, hey, I want to take that from you. It's just like, hey, I want to enter into that with you. And so I don't think that's wrong. I think that's a good thing because, you know, Hebrews 11 is God's hall of the faithful, those who really walked with him. And we read those stories and we say, yes, I want to be like Noah. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like Moses. And I want to trust God in the good times and in the bad times and step out in faith and walk by faith and not by sight. And so so I think you can look at that one of two ways, Debbie. It can be a negative or it can be a positive. And you can say, praise the Lord that that she's experiencing that from the Lord. And that's what I want to experience for myself and for my family. So God bless you and thank you for calling in today. We have John on the line from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I've known people personally that are infertile. They have no children, but they're very interested in serving God and glorifying God in their lives. But what about those people who are preoccupied about having children because they are infertile?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what to think about those people that are preoccupied about having children and they're not having them. Is that wrong?
I think it can be wrong if it becomes your idol. Like that is, I mean, my life will be incomplete unless I have children. The Lord is the one that controls that. You know, Rachel told Jacob, give me children lest I die. He said, am I in the place of God? How am I going to do that? Yeah, you know, God's the one who opens the womb and closes the womb. And so I think if we allow that to just become, just to push everything else out, then that has become an idol in our lives, and I'm never going to be satisfied unless I have this. I think we bring that burden to the Lord, as Hannah did when she couldn't have children in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she prayed and poured out her bitterness of heart, as she said, to the Lord, and she just said, Lord, this is my situation. If you'll give me a child, then I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. And she did that. She followed through. When the Lord answered her prayer and gave her little Samuel, she let Samuel stay with Eli, which is a really step of faith, because Eli wasn't a good role model or a good father by any stretch with his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. But anyway, she did that, and she followed through. And so she just brought her burden to the Lord and trusted him with it. That's what the Bible says. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow you, the righteous, to be shaken or forsaken. God is a good God, and we can trust him no matter what. And so So I would say that is a big, big deal for lots of couples, lots of ladies that want to be moms, lots of wives that want to be moms, and they just have to make sure that they're bringing that burden to the Lord, casting that burden on the Lord, and trusting him. I think it's okay to seek whatever medical help you need in that regard, but you got to watch it that you don't cross a line where that becomes an idol and you become bitter at the Lord because he hasn't done your will. God doesn't exist to do our will. We exist to do his will. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me, Psalm 2 says, I delight to do your will. And actually, that's Psalm 40. So, a great subject, the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his maidservant or his female servant or his male servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hey, for you, for me, let's find our satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who can meet our deepest needs. And as Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Contentment is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you call upon his name, he'll come to you. He will answer your prayer. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, he says, which you do not know. Well, thank you for joining me today. Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things he's done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.